This is Brother Gino. I want to thank each and every one of you listening today for joining me for the pastor's study. Today's Bible lesson is entitled, Your Freedom Has Consequences. Your Freedom Has Consequences. We're going to begin in the book of Galatians, chapter 5 and verse 1. Galatians chapter 5 in verse number 1. The Word of God has this to say. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. As believers in Christ, you and I have liberty in Christ, which gives us freedom from the yoke of bondage of the law. The Apostle Peter spoke of this yoke in Acts chapter 15 and verse 10. The Apostle Peter said this in Acts 15:10. Now therefore, why tempt you God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? There were some at the time of this writing that believed that you still had to keep the Mosaic law to be saved. And that's not true, because Peter and Paul, the rest of the apostles, things change. You're saved by grace through faith. And Peter reminds his audience that even themselves or their fathers couldn't bear the law, the bondage of the law. Many times, when someone gets saved, they will say, I feel like a great weight has been lifted off of me. That is that yoke of sin that has held that person in bondage. You see, when men were under the law, they were never able to be justified or freed from the bondage of sin. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16. The Word of God says this, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, not by the works of law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. You see, my dear listeners, the law was a schoolmaster to bring you and I to Christ. Paul points this out in Galatians chapter 3, in verses 24 to 26. We read this, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. You know, often today you'll hear people say, well, every one of us is a child of God. Well, not according to the words of God. You're a child of God, it clearly says, by faith in Christ Jesus. Amen? Now, so the law is a schoolmaster to bring you and I to Christ. And you are a child of God, as we just saw, by faith in Jesus Christ plus nothing. Now, your freedom to make your own choices has consequences. In Galatians chapter 6, Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, we are reminded, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So the verses clearly tell us, sow to the flesh and reap corruption. And in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21, tells us a little bit about what that sowing to the flesh is all about. It talks here in Galatians 5, 19 to 21, about the works of the flesh. It describes them. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, or revealed. These are them. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like. In other words, such like works of the flesh. There are others that are not named here, but they're like the ones that have been named. Of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, 180 degrees, we see you sow to the Spirit, and you reap life everlasting. So how do I know that I'm sowing to the Spirit? Well, just like in Galatians chapter 5, 19 to 21, gave us the works of the flesh to show one who is sowing to the flesh and who will reap corruption. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and to 23, we have the fruit of the Spirit, which is an indication of whether you're reaping to the Spirit or sowing to the Spirit, and you'll reap life everlasting. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Amen to that. So here we see, tells you if you are sowing to the Spirit, then you're going to produce the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. So you have to remember, now that you're saved, you still have choices. That you, personal choices that you have in front of you that you make on an everyday basis. Amen. And those choices, as we have just seen, have consequences. You reap what you sow, good or bad. Amen. Now, your freedom also has consequences for those around you. Again, your freedom has consequences for those around you. In Romans chapter 14, in verse number 7, Romans 14, verse 7, the Word of God says this: for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. In other words, we affect others, do we not? We affect others. And no matter the age, you are a testimony, saved or lost. Notice in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 11, the Word of God says, even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure, whether it be right. Amen. The thing that you and I have to remember, as born again, children of God, washed in the blood of Christ, amen, that you and I that are on this earth are here in Christ's place. The Word of God tells us that we are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, the Word of God says this, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though Christ did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. So we, all believers, are ambassadors for Christ. Amen. That's what the Word of God says. So our testimony affects those around us, those that we come in contact with, does it not? And what kind of an ambassador are you? Amen. How good of an ambassador are you for Christ? You and I are ambassadors for Christ. We have the ministry of reconciliation. Amen. We can show people through the words of God how they can be reconciled to God. Amen. How they can be reunited to God, that they can have peace with God once again, because they were torn apart from God through Adam's sin. And God the Father sent the only sacrifice that could pay for our sins, that could make a way that you and I could be reconciled to God, and that's through the perfect sacrifice of the sinless Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. His shedding of his blood, amen, dying for us, being buried and rose the third day, is the way that one believing on that, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, is the way that one can be reconciled to God. That's the message. That's our ministry of reconciliation. But also, we have that message, but we also represent Christ. Again, if you're sowing to the flesh, amen, what a poor testimony you and I are, amen, to others around us. You say, I'm not under the law. Some people think, I'm saved now, I'm not under the law. I have a license to sin. No, you don't have a license to sin. Amen. You're no under the law. You're free from the bondage of the law. But still, amen, your choices affect those around you. They have consequences. Your testimony is very important. In fact, your testimony may affect someone either to get out, to keep them out of hell or send them to hell. They see you acting like they act, or any other unsaved person, they'll say, what's the difference? Amen. Now, also, don't judge others. Amen. As we're looking at, your freedom has consequences for those around us. Don't judge others. Don't be self-righteous. Because every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. In fact, the very words of God tell us this. In Romans chapter 14, Romans chapter 14, verses 10 to 12, the Word of God says, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Amen. See, when you judge others, amen, you exalt yourself. When you judge others, you exalt yourself. And we have a classic example of this in the Word of God. In Luke chapter 18, in verses 10 through 14, we read this. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee, the other a publican. Now, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. He thumbs his nose, looks down upon the publican who is also there at the temple to pray. He's saying to God, I'm glad I'm not like this guy. He's judging him, in other words. He's saying, I'm better than this man. He goes on and he tells God, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Yeah, he's telling God how religious he is and so forth and so on. Now the attention is turned towards the publican. And the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And what is the result of these two men and how they approach God? Verse 14, and I tell you, this man, the publican now, went down to his house justified rather than the other. Why? For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now, the Apostle Paul didn't use his power or position, but became a servant. He took a position of humility. Amen. He didn't go around pointing his finger at everybody and saying, I'm better than this one or I'm better than that one. No. The Word of God tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, in verses 19 to 22, it tells us this about Paul. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. See, the Apostle Paul took a position of humility so he could save souls. He goes on, he says, unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jew. To them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak became as I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. The Apostle Paul took on the role of servant, a role of humility, because he knew that precious souls were in the balance, and even he had liberty in Christ, his freedom had consequences for those around him. And he wanted to lead as many as possible to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Should we do any less? No. Now, charity, the love of your neighbor and not the judging of him. That's what we need to do. Love your neighbor. Don't judge him. Amen. In Galatians chapter 5 and verses 13 and 14, we read this. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. There's that liberty that we have in Christ. But he goes on, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. In other words, don't use that freedom you have, that liberty in Christ, to sin, to satisfy the flesh. But by love, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Amen. You may be living next to the worst neighborhood, or the neighbor in your neighborhood, rather. But you know what? If that man's unsaved, that woman's unsaved, that family's unsaved, they need to be saved. So you need to love them. Amen. Not judge them, love them. They're unsaved, don't criticize them. Well, these people are unsaved, amen. They're heathens, that's the way they act like this and so forth, and they behave like this. They behave like that because they don't know Christ. They don't have Jesus Christ. They don't have a personal relationship with him, and they need it. Show charity, amen. Make the choice to show charity. Because it in your freedom, and your freedom, don't use it, amen, for an occasion to sin, to satisfy your flesh, amen. And that's what you do when you judge others. You're pushing yourself up. You're exalting yourself up. No. Instead, we need to do exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us. What did he do? Now, you got to remember, he really came down. He came from the glory of heaven, glory that he shared with the Father. And what happened? We go on and we read in Philippians chapter 2. We are told in verse 5 and following, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And of course, that mind is a mind of servant humility. And it goes on to say, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. We know that Jesus was God's son. But despite that, it says, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. He came down, amen. He had no reputation. He didn't go around and say, you know, puffing himself up and look at these great miracles I'm doing, this power I have. No, he came to do the Father's will, to please the Father. He took on the form of a servant, it says, but made of himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. Who was made in likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. There's that humility, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also has highly exalted him and given a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. He went down so he could go up. Amen. When you go down, amen, God will exalt you. If you come to God humbly, Lord, what is your will for my life? Be obedient to the Father's will for your life. There's coming a day where you'll be exalted, that you'll be glorified in heaven, along with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, as we move on, and we're talking about here how our freedom has consequences for those around us, we need to avoid placing a stumbling block on an occasion to fall in a weaker brother's path. We read here in Romans chapter 14, verses 13 to 15, it says, "Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block on an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died." Amen. The things that you do can cause others to do the same, and sometimes to their hurt. And 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 9 through 12, we read, "But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man see which has knowledge, should it meet an idol's temple? Shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish, for whom Christ died? But when ye sin so against the brethren, and wound their white weak conscience, ye sin against Christ." Wow. Parents, remember this. You are teaching your children 24/7, much more than those so-called teachable moments. Your sin and lack of conviction will cause others to think that it is acceptable. Your mediocre Christian walk of growth will be a stumbling block for others. Then finally, we see this. Our freedom has consequences to those around us. Avoid things that appear wrong, even though they might not be wrong. Romans chapter 14, verse 16, it says, "Let not then your good be evil spoken of." My dear listeners, abstain from all appearance of evil. Abstain from all appearance of evil, as it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22. Saved, amen, saved and lost alike are watching you constantly. Right or wrong, you are being judged by their perception of evil. Here's a good rule to go by. If there's doubt, don't. So we've seen in our lesson today, yes, we have liberty in Christ. Amen. But we shouldn't use that liberty for an occasion to sin, to please the flesh. Your freedom and my freedom that we have in Christ has consequences. As we saw, your freedom and my freedom to make our own personal choices has consequences. You know, thank God that we're no longer under law, but we have liberty in Christ. Amen. But I tell you, we have a great responsibility as born-again believers in how we live our life, because how we live it and our choices have consequences not only for us individually, but for those around us and those we come in contact with on a daily basis. Well, I pray the lesson has been a blessing to you. This is Brother Gino. Until we meet again on the Pastor Study, I pray that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.